consultant, WGTD Walworth County correspondent Jim McClure, and by Marlo Harmon, a lifelong Racine resident who's currently employed as an addiction counselor at Racine Correctional Institution. And now, here's today's host.
For Community Matters, this is Lenny Quinta, and our topic today is the city of Kenosha and a retrospective looking back over 8 years and maybe a little more of Keith Bosman's administration as mayor. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning, Len. Good to be here.
Well, this is going to be a lot of fun, and we want to take a look in sort of the broad picture. We have some perspective now. I have 8 years you've had under your belt as mayor. You were on the city council for 12 years, have had a distinguished career in politics in Kenosha and Kenosha County. So let's talk about where Kenosha has been, where you've been, and where we might be going in the future. But first, one thing that's been in the news recently has been 52nd Street's resurfacing, Highway 158. I thought we'd start there because it's a good illustration and topical of how difficult it is to run a city. You aren't totally in control of everything as mayor. It'd be nice if you were, but you're not. Tell us about how that 52nd Street resurfacing unfolded and why it's a problem for us. And let's illustrate the complexity of running the city when you have to deal with so many different entities.
52nd Street, Highway 158, is a state trunk highway. Okay, so is Highway 50, you know, out on the west side from about 39th Avenue west. If you remember, the state came in and put a Band-Aid on Highway 50 a couple of years ago. I think they did a pretty good job of it. That's got to last 5 or 6 years until they actually come back and completely rebuild Highway 50. Okay, Highway 158 is scheduled to be done who knows when. They keep kicking the can down the road on that one. But so they came in and did 158 in two segments, okay? The west side, west of 31, they did a couple years ago. I think they did a pretty good job.
That rides very well.
It was a much simpler job because it was covering asphalt with asphalt. Once you get east of Green Bay Road, concrete street, much older street, much more highly traveled. But they came in and they did a mill and overlay, what we call a mill and overlay, and they took off 3 inches of or 4 inches of asphalt, but they only put 3 inches back on, and they did it in one course. Normally, when you do an asphalt street, you put a base course down, and then that sits for a little while. They come back and put a finish course on over the top. Generally, that takes care of it. It's rides well. It's smooth. In this case, they did it on the cheap, and it's going to have to last at least 10 years until they come back and do a complete rebuild from Sheridan Road all the way out to I-94. But I don't think it's going to last 2 years, and it wasn't a very good job, but we're faced with living with it because it's a state project, and they call the shots. Now, $6 million job, so for us to say, well, we'll do it in place of the state, we'll cover the cost and we'll do it our way, just didn't make sense either.
And it seems as though the council, the county, we don't really have a role in that discussion that counts enough, apparently.
That's correct. It's their jurisdiction, and like I say, for us to come in and spend $5, $6, $7 million just was not in the cards. So we have to deal with their budget and with their engineering, and we're going to have to live with it. Now, hopefully, we can get 158 completely rebuilt in the near future, but I don't think it's going to be within the next 10 years.
Well, one would hope that would like to think that the business community here and the political community in the city and the county would exercise some influence at some point of leverage, since 158 is really a crucial piece of our central city downtown redevelopment vision, is it not?
There's no question. It's the main entry, or we like to think it's the main entry. We'd like to get some of the traffic off of Highway 50 because that's one of the busiest highways in the state of Wisconsin, especially as you get to Green Bay Road. Get more people coming in, make it more pleasurable to come in Highway 158 to get all the way downtown. But here, the state has spent a lot of money in Kenosha County with the rebuilding of I-94, and there are 71 other counties in the state of Wisconsin who all think that they are priorities. So in this day and age, the state of Wisconsin keeps cutting budgets, and there is fewer dollars to go around, so we have to make do.
Keith, you've had the opportunity to be mayor, and you've done a great job, Mr. Mayor. In difficult times, I think most people would agree. You might have had better fortune to become mayor sometime other than the worst recession in the history of this country, besides the Great Depression. Some people would say that was a very bad choice on your part, but that was the card you were dealt. How do you feel about your administration in the light of what was going on nationally? I mean, Kenosha seems to be still kicking and alive.
I think there's two four-year terms there, and the first four-year term was kind of survival and dealing with the economy and dealing with the changes that were happening at the state level in terms of Act 10. That was all going on back in that first four-year term. And we downsized government. We eliminated 50 positions in those 4 years in city government. Since then, we've built back up a little bit as we've hired more police officers and engineers. We've got projects that are going here. But in those first 50 years, we combined the public works with the park department, which allowed us to reorganize things. And we just kind of dealt with those first 4 years and got through the first 4 years. Well, in the second 4 years, as the economy came back and council changed over to maybe a more collegial group, I think we made progress. And a lot of it is location, the city of Kenosha here, right between Chicago and Milwaukee. A lot of it is the things that were done to retool our lakefront over the years from 1990 to 2005, 2006, as our lakefront was redeveloped, Harbor Park was developed. That kind of set the tone, set the stage for the last 4 or 5 years where we've really been a hot spot in the country.
It's interesting that you point to the fact that not only did times get better during your second 4 years as mayor, but that we were ready to take advantage of those opportunities. We didn't have a deteriorated lakefront with a bunch of buildings that we were praying somebody would want to retool someday. We actually went ahead and took care of that problem ourselves with a lot of outside help, of course, and financially. And the business community and the political community got together, and we have these organizations doing economic development. So we were ready. Not every community was as ready as we were, do you think?
Yeah, I can't speak for other communities. I know the problems that exist in other communities like Flint, Michigan, for instance. Now, they've had some problems that have exacerbated their existing problems. But I've been to, talking with mayors of Youngstown, Ohio, and Canton, Ohio, and Elkhart, Indiana, and all of these Midwestern cities who've lost their old manufacturing, as we have, as Racine has. And we were in a position where we've dealt with the brownfields over the years and redeveloped the brownfields. We've got another one right in our central city, the 109-acre Chrysler property that we will deal with, we have been dealing with, and will deal with in the future. But we have room to expand. We've got, even after all the development that we've seen in the last 5 years, we've got over 800 acres that we can develop with industrial use over the next, over the foreseeable future, let's say, out on the west side. So, we have done well. We were in position. We took advantage of it, and now we will continue to take advantage of that until we run out of space, and I don't see that happening.
How important has our ability to keep annexing land to the city been in this, Keith?
I think it's very important. We still have all of that room on the west side. I consider the Dairyland Park property, it's 140, 150 acres that are developable there. There's land west of I-94 that we can expand our city and develop tax base. I think that's very important that the city be allowed to grow and expand our tax base and bring jobs to the community.
I might note for our listeners that we're recording this a week before broadcast, so if we miss something that happened during the past 5 days, it's not because we had fallen asleep. Mr. Mayor, you've been kind enough to share with me a early draft of some of the accomplishments of the community in the last 8 years, and it's a very impressive list and codifies some of the things that you have in mind, but you don't often see in a list like this. I'm going to want to talk about that in a little bit. But looking back over the course of your interaction politically here in the last 8 years, there's been ups and downs in the tone on the Common Council and in the state legislature and even in the national legislatures. Where do you think we're headed in terms of the comity, the collegiality, the willingness to work together and not grandstand and to be working in a positive way? Are we going to continue in that fashion, or are we going to go back to the kind of politics we're seeing at the national level?
You know, I think that comes and goes. Certainly, it's not the situation that we have at the national level and the state level. It's nonpartisan. And that partisanship, I mean, I'm talking about Republicans and Democrats. I'm talking about political parties that vote with each other in lockstep.
Mm-hmm.
It's different on the Common Council. It's different on the county board. Certainly, you have different viewpoints and different principles that people have, their own personal positions that they take. But I think it's much more team-oriented. And I think the council that we have in position right now has done a great job working together as a team with the administration over the last 4 years when we've had a great opportunity to do some good things. And I think the city is in good position to move forward over the foreseeable future.
In the past, with guests from Pleasant Prairie on this program, it was discussed that a distinguishing difference of their governance as opposed to the city of Kenosha's is that they're elected village-wide rather than by district or neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And they're elected at large would be the technical term. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that really makes a difference? Do you think that is something worth considering? Or so that if you're elected at large, the theory is that you have to consider the whole village or the whole city instead of just your neighborhood and think in a broader term, and that's supposedly good. Is it?
Well, it does, and maybe it is a little more parochial where it's my district. The aldermen are speaking about their district, and if it's not good for my district, then I don't care. That seeps in there a little bit on occasion, but not really. I think the Common Council members look at the welfare of the whole city. Certainly there's always that backdrop of, yeah, it's my district, and I hold the keys to the fiefdom here. But
especially when it's about snow plowing.
Yes. Well, snow plowing, about whose roads get repaired, whose trees get taken care of first. That's out there. But on the other hand, If you have people elected at large, that tends to maybe not allow people of a certain enclave, a certain area of the city would be elected. I don't know. I think our system works well.
Perhaps it has to do with the size. Well, the bigger you get, perhaps the less at large really works well for individual neighborhoods and individual areas
that
of the city.
I don't see our government changing. There was some talk about reducing the number of aldermen from 17 down to something 12 or 13 or 14. The cost of running city government is really minimal compared to the total budget of the city. It's very, very small. And I think having each of our aldermen represents something like 6,500 people. They get a lot of phone calls. There is a lot of interaction with the constituency, and that's the way it should be. I think if there was a smaller number like 5 or 7, I think it would be much more difficult for an alderman. Then it starts to become more of a full-time position. I don't see that being a good thing.
That wouldn't be the direction you would recommend.
Not me, that's for sure.
My guest this morning on Community Matters is our current sitting mayor, Keith Bosman, for the city of Kenosha. And we're taking a look at the past 8 years of his administration and getting the benefit of his wisdom. You know, one of the good things about getting older, I always tell my 30-something friends, is that no matter how intelligent you are when you're 30, another 30 years gives you some perspective. And so we're going to ask you for a little perspective as we talk further this morning, Keith. But let's take a look at this very interesting list that you've put together that you've been kind enough to share a draft with me. In terms of industrial events, we've had some really major things happen in the last 8 years. Do you want to talk about those and not just necessarily list all of them, but what's made this be so successful? And you have on your list things ranging from Gordon's, which is a great place to do their shopping, by the way, to, of course, the very large U-Line.
First, let me speak to the list here. We just kind of putting together a list of things that happened over the last 8 years, and the mayor's office and the administration, the city council, has something to do with a lot of them, although there may be some things here that, you know, we had nothing to do with. This is more or less the history of Kenosha over the last 8 years. And
it's very instructive to see where we've been.
People forget. You know, oh, yeah, all of that stuff happened over the last 8 years or over the last 20 years or whatever. So we just tried to go back and dredge some of these.
So when you look at this, when we talk about this, we're really talking about recession forward, pretty much.
Gordon Food Service and Affiliated Midwest, which I put out at the top of the list here, those were in the pipeline before 2008. They came on in 2008, 2009. So we were lucky that we had projects in the pipeline that carried us through those very difficult first years of 08, 9, 10. There are also some projects on here that I listed that are quasi-governmental projects like Indian Trail High School, developments at Carthage and Parkside and Gateway that were going on. So we had things going on here. It wasn't completely devoid of any projects and things going on. Obviously, that kind of stepped up after the recession was over. But, you know, we've been fairly well blessed here over the last 8 years with things happening and jobs coming in and growth of our educational institutions. That's all part of the community, too.
We've had some interesting developments in the residential area, particularly in downtown. Would you comment on how you see that developing downtown, Mayor Bosman?
We're doing better in terms of residential in the downtown. The Harborside Commons was developed in, I think, 09, which is that large building in Harbor North. There's 90 units there, okay? We've got the Fifth Avenue Lofts project that is just ready to open phase one as we speak.
I'm excited to tour that.
Oh, it's a gorgeous building. And if you remember what was there previously, the old Wells factory site. Okay, so we've got 60 units that are going to open almost as we speak on that site. Phase two will start shortly. That will add another 40 units there. The Virginia Towers, like the building or not, there are now 36 apartments that are 100% occupied in that building. The YMCA project, the old KYF, is on the cusp of getting started. They're getting the tax credits, we hope, in April. That project will start in the summertime. That will add another 45 units to the downtown. And that's really what is a big part of bringing the downtown back, is having people, having a residential density down there that supports the businesses. Now, it all started with Harbor Park. If you go back, the redevelopment of Lakefront, the development of Harbor Park, the addition of new businesses in the downtown over the last 15 years, the museums, all of these things have made downtown more and more of a destination, and we're way better than we were 10 years ago. 10 years from now, will it be even better?
We've had a lot of talk about downtown recently and downtown plans and developing an art space for artists downtown, which is very exciting. We have new performance venues downtown. And we have all kinds of new housing developments going on. But there's still a lot of vacant land. What's your take on taxes in Kenosha? Are we getting as much taxes out of our is the property being used well? I look at the old what we used to call the KAT parking lot for the cars over what used to be Bonnie Haim over by the old AMC Chrysler plant. It's been vacant forever now. I used to have relatives who lived there way back when. It just sort of breaks my heart to see that being useless. Where have we come in terms of improving the tax base of the city, and where do you think we need to go, Mayor Bosman?
Well, our overall philosophy, my overall philosophy over the last 8 years is the West Side will take care of itself. We will continue to move west. We will continue to develop. The market will develop those properties out there, as you've seen.
It'd be hard to stop it.
It's hard to stop it. That's where the demand is, okay? But we have continued to try to bring development back to the east side, to the downtown, to the uptown, to the rest of the city, to create destinations like Simmons Field and the Velodrome, and make Lincoln Park a destination, and the Dream Playground, and all of these things will bring people back to the east side, add value to the east side. And by the east side, I'm saying east of Green Bay Road,
which used to be the city when I was a kid.
That was the western edge of the city. That's where I grew up. So that takes work. You know, to develop the west side is a no-brainer. The companies are knocking on the door, coming from all over the place to develop I-94 out on the west side where all the traffic is. So we've taken the approach of, you know, neighborhood inspections have been going on, systematic neighborhood inspections to make sure that the housing stock is maintained, putting community development block grant money into fixing streets in the neighborhoods in the inner city, attracting new business and residential development to the downtown that brings the population center of the city back to the east, back towards the lake, I think adds value. Adds value, maintains the tax base of the older city, and therefore they're excuse me, paying their fair share. Now, we'd always like to see everybody, you know, balance this out, but that's been the philosophy, to try to improve the central city, the older city, the area east of Green Bay Road, continue to maintain the value of the city in that area.
We've made some very important progress, it seems to me, in some of the public spaces of our community. This Simmons Field you've talked about, we're making progress at Chrysler. The parks, Lincoln Park, I'm happy to hear you mention that. I spent many, many, many hours of my life as a child in Lincoln Park. It's a wonderful feature. It is really quite undeveloped considering what it could be, but there's money that will be required to do that. And a lot of money has already been put into it, and a lot of vision and planning. I think that's one of our jewels of our community, and our lakefront is certainly a jewel. We're working hard on those buildings. How difficult is it to get the money to be able to do those projects, and what needs to be done in the future to maintain these public treasures and these public spaces so that they can be utilized as highly as they ought to be?
During my administration here, we have gotten grant money to develop park plans for, we started with the lakefront parks with Southport, Simmons Island, Pennoyer, Kennedy, and, you know, trying to develop these plans. We have an adopted plan for Simmons Island. Unfortunately, we've kind of gone away from these park plans because we're putting most of the money into the roads. So that's kind of sat there, and it should. I mean, obviously parks are great, but the money needs to go into the roads, and that's the direction that we've taken. But these plans are beautiful plans. The idea is to create destinations, again, at these parks where people want to be there, where festivals can be held, where athletic events can be held, where people can just go and enjoy themselves. Much like you and I spent a lot of time at Lincoln Park in my childhood playing ball. There were programs that were offered by the Recreation Department. tennis, baseball, the arts, you know. So that's the idea. I don't think it's going to take a lot of money to do things at Lincoln Park. We did a lot of things last summer to bring people to the park. That will be replicated again this summer. We've got a lot of things that we're going to do there that aren't going to cost a lot of money that will make Lincoln Park a destination, and with that, improve the neighborhood.
A lot of events have grown up, Mayor Bosman, over the last few years, things that we never imagined 30 years ago. How important are these events in your total vision? Things like the Taste of Wisconsin and the grill games and so forth. There's a Lose Your Shoes volleyball tournament that I somehow missed that one. But
I think the events are as important as anything in terms of bringing people to Kenosha, providing enjoyment for the residents of Kenosha. Like people may not run in the marathon, but it brings 3,000 people here to Kenosha for that one day or 2 days, because a lot of them spend the night or spend the weekend here. They spend a lot of money here, and if they don't spend a lot of money on that visit, they come back. And maybe they eventually bring their business with them, or they decide to live in Kenosha, or they decide to come back for a weekend vacation. I think they're very important to the quality of life for the city of Kenosha and making Kenosha a destination and providing that, you know, kind of vibrancy. You can talk about the Harbor Market as an event, you know, but it's six months long, every weekend for 6 months. These other events may be 1 or 2 day events. They're equally important. Harbor Market kind of does the same thing, and how much it's grown and how many people it brings to Kenosha and how much money is spent here in Kenosha because of all of these events.
Most of these events are run by other organizations, not-for-profits, and they require very little of the city, some coordination, but it does require sometimes police support, street closings and whatnot. Have those ever created problems for us? And
I don't see it as problems. We have Chris Coachman in our office does a great job in coordinating all of the city departments that need to be involved in these things. Traffic, I love, you know, traffic is customers to me. You know, having to close down a street for a car show, you know, the car show on Labor Day weekend, we shut down Main Street. Last year, there was over 1,000 beautiful automobiles in our downtown, and, you know, do the math, if you two people per car, and, you know, it just brings a lot of people and a lot of family type of entertainment to the city, so we're happy to work with these groups.
A lot of commercial sales from that many people, and I guess that's part of it, too, the economic multiplier effect of having many events, and just the people buying food for those events when they come to town and buying gas adds to our economy.
Yes.
And they bring others with them, and they get exposed to what we have to offer. When we talk about the future, Mayor Bosman, if you were to identify some of the issues that would keep you up at night, if you were elected to a third term, what would cause you to wake up screaming at night?
Well, I don't get that invested, you know, where I lose a lot of sleep over it. Some things are, even things that are in your control, take a lot of time. You know, like we've been working on the Heritage House for 4 years through all of these ups and downs, and I think we're kind of finally there where that's going to move forward. I think the Chrysler property, the eventual redevelopment, would be something that I would be really interested in following through on. I think the next administration is positioned well to be able to actually see the redevelopment of that Chrysler property. It's hugely important for the city of Kenosha that it be done right, and I have a lot of confidence that it will be. You know, I think that's it. Crime has, we're in a tough position here between Chicago and Milwaukee. people kind of coming and going here that don't have the best interests of the community in mind. But we've done a great job. Our first responders are well-trained and wonderful to work with. So I think we've got a handle on that. But that's certainly something that requires constant vigilance on the part of the city.
My guest this morning on Community Matters is Mayor Keith Bosman, who's completing his second term. And after 8 years as mayor and a long and distinguished career on the Common Council, we're mining his brain for some comments on what to expect and how to evaluate our past. Keith, you did spend 12 years on the council. We talked a little bit about how the council works. Do you believe that the organization of the council and its committee structure is optimal for a city our size? Do we need even more council members in order to properly staff committees and have proper discussion? Or do you think that we're about at the right size? You said you wouldn't decrease the number of council persons earlier in the program. Should they be increased as the city grows?
Well, I think we have a good number. I can't see us increasing. At some point, as I mentioned earlier, each one of the members of council represents about 6,500 citizens. Now it's a part-time job. You know, they all have their regular jobs. In between, they've got to take phone calls, emails, and respond to these 6,500 citizens, which with social media and with the ease of communicating these days, it's probably incrementally more connected to their legislators than they were when I was on the city council. Back in my day, if I got a call, one call a month, and back then there was no email, so there wasn't the connection that they have right now.
People expect instant response because they have instant communication.
Well, they do. They at least expect, hey, I'll get back to you, or tell me where I can get this information from a department head or from somebody in the city. They've got a problem that needs taken care of. And a lot of times the aldermen are the first line of defense. So they're busy. And I hate to see it, and it's always going to be a part-time job, I believe. It should just be a part-time job. They put in a lot of hours. They take a lot of calls. The packet is that they get every week is 500 or 600 pages of information that they have to digest and kind of familiarize themselves with. So it's a daunting job. It can be. But I don't see us changing that form of government anytime soon. I think metropolitan government would be wonderful.
Tell me a little bit
about it. But I don't see that happening.
Tell me about what you mean by metropolitan government for us, Mayor Bosman.
Well, say you had one government that covered everything east of I-94. It's not quite as rural as it is west of I-94. It seems to work well with the Kenosha Unified School District. There are savings there. Could there be savings with fire service? Could there be savings with police protection? You'd think there would be, but would that ever happen here in Kenosha? I kind of doubt it. Everybody's kind of entrenched.
Based on current history, it seems unlikely, but you actually would see that consolidation of services and more cooperation and coordination for back-office type services and shared first responder services could be more economical and maybe yield better service.
I think it's an interesting idea.
Worthy of study.
Yeah.
The city and the county and CABA have made use of a lot of studies in the past decade, and some really good ones. I wonder if you would comment on the use of outside consultants. Sometimes that's terribly criticized, but it seems to me that we in our community have used them quite well.
I think let's talk about the downtown plan. I think it's important to get people from outside the community to come in and look at what you're doing and critique what you're doing and say, you know, this is important or maybe this is not so important and here's where you should spend your money. A lot of times you're too close to the subject and it can cause you to spend money where maybe you shouldn't be, waste money. The downtown plan that we had from Lakota, the Lakota plan, I think, was about $130,000. Our budget, our annual budget for the city of Kenosha is $75 million. So you can see it's a very small part of part of the total.
As a former consultant, and I know something about the business, I thought that was a pretty good bargain, actually, for what we got.
I think so. Everybody has a chance to provide input over a long period of time. So what comes out is a two-inch thick manual that everybody can pick up and look at and say, okay, this is how we're going to do things. This is the important things. We've developed this priority list, and there's 24 projects in there that are of a high priority. Let's start working on these projects. And that's what we've done over the last 3 years, is try to use that as the manual and followed through on it.
You referred earlier to conversations you've had with mayors of other post-industrial communities like ours, where the industry has picked up and died or moved away. How important is the use of consultants in enabling us to benchmark and get the experience of other cities? I would think that has been an important piece of their work for the city and the county and for CABA. Would you agree? And the chamber, would you agree?
I think we don't know all the best practices, the things that have worked in other communities. Again, I'll go back to Lakota. They have done studies with communities much like Kenosha throughout the country, and they can tell you what works, what doesn't work, where's the most bang for the buck, so where should you spend your money, and where should you maybe not spend your money.
So that consulting fee really does pay off in your view, because it helps us set priorities based on experience and not wishes.
Right. And you may not, one of the projects that came out of the downtown plan was the streetcar. And it was in there because we had the money. Otherwise, it probably would not have. But in the end, the city decided not to spend the money that it would have taken to expand the streetcar. Doesn't mean we're going to go down this list of 24 projects and do them one after another, chapter and verse. We still have the purview to say, maybe we don't have the money for that at this point, or maybe we've got some other project that's moving up in priority based on a whole number of different factors. So it's not that you're locked into this. You still have to make the decisions as they come up, but it's the blueprint.
Someday, no one will ask you anymore about what you think about streetcars and transportation. But today is not the day.
I brought it up. Shame on me.
Well, forget about streetcars per se, but transportation in the community is a really big issue. And if you care about human services and income inequality and people getting to work and having jobs and being serious about that concern instead of just grandstanding about it, you have to talk about transportation. And I know that this is a concern of yours, Mayor Bosman. What choices does a community like ours have? We have all these wonderful jobs available at the highway, and we have people who can't get to them downtown. This is a bad situation.
Well, a city the size of Kenosha, which is spread out, we're something like 25 square miles of city, but then we have our industrial parks, which have, obviously we've got the space on the west side, and the south. Pleasant Prairie has been marvelously successful in developing an industrial base, but all the people live here, and not all of them have or want to drive, so we need to have some connectivity. We don't have that right now. Let's go back to that metropolitan government. It'd be a lot easier if we had one governmental unit where we could have a transportation entity that covered everything.
What about the Regional Transportation Authority that there was created at one time to coordinate these things?
Well, the push was to be able to do these things, but that failed at the state level. Maybe it'll come back in the future. I don't know. Right now, the other governments would have to pay for the services because the city taxpayers fund our transportation, our bus system, is funded with local property taxes. So for us to go beyond the city's boundaries, somebody's going to have to pay for that. And That's something to discuss in the future. As we get bigger and bigger and bigger, it behooves us to be able to bring people who can't drive, to allow them to be able to get around. But there's a huge cost. The fares actually only support about 17% of the total cost of the operation. So.
And there are other avenues that people have talked about of attacking the problem. There are programs that make it possible for low-income people to purchase cars. They're not operating right now in Kenosha or Racine, as far as I know. I think that one has closed. But maybe those are other things that our human services sector and the public sector need to look at, and the banking sector, especially the credit unions, might be able to get together and figure out a solution for that.
Yeah, I don't know what the solution is. I think as this megalopolis here grows between Chicago and Milwaukee and you get more population density, mass transportation works better. Right now, a city of 100,000 people, if we didn't haul kids to school, there's not a lot of ridership out there. As the density continues to grow, I think it makes more sense 20 years from now. 50 years from now, certainly, we'll look more like Evanston than we do now. So you've got more population density. Mass transit works better.
Mayor Keith Bosman, your administration will be ending in a short time. What advice would you give to your successor as mayor of Kenosha?
I think it's important to get out, and be visible and talk to the people on the street. They're always willing to offer their opinion on something, up or down, good or bad. And I think that's important. Maybe that's number one. And everything else is way down the list. Be out there and listen to people and talk to people and be available.
And during all these years of community service, what do you think Keith has learned and has impressed you most, or what are you taking away from this experience, Keith?
Well, the reason I got involved in the beginning, I'm born and raised here in Kenosha, and having a lot of pride in the community, I wanted to be a part of that, seeing the community prosper and grow, and that was 1988 when I first came on board, and no one could have predicted, I think, the ups and downs that we've been through over the last 25 years, or no one could have predicted the growth of the community. I think looking in 1988 to where we are now, it has been exponential, and it's been fun to be along for the ride.
Thank you, Mayor Keith Bosman, retiring mayor of the city of Kenosha. For Community Matters, this is Len Iaquinta encouraging you to get informed, get involved, be political. Have a good day.
You've been listening to Community Matters, a program that airs every Saturday morning at 11:15 on WGTD. For an online recording of today's show, log on to WGTD's website at WGTD.org, click Talk, and go to Community Matters. Your gateway to public radio is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
Support comes from Gateway. Lock in a job, learn a trade on site and in class, and get paid as you go. Apprenticeships are available in a growing variety of areas, including industrial manufacturing tech, machine repair, plumbing, and mechatronics. Call Nikki at 262-564-2952.
Support for WGTD comes from Carthage College, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. More information is available online at carthage.edu/grad.
Support for WGTD comes from Vero International Cuisine in Racine on 6th Avenue near Monument Square, featuring American food with an international twist in a serene setting with intimate and exotic touches. Online at verointernationalcuisine.com.
...24/7 jazz on WGTD HD2. Jazz, swing, blues, bop, and more airing right now on HD2. For more information, go to WGTD.org or dial 564-3030.